You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Football season is here, and that means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron action at B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports. Time for the roundtable. Zagura, Wilhelm, Gribble, Jones. Gentlemen, happy Tuesday. Just another... Hold on. I never am ready for you guys. I don't know. My bad. Just another calm day here in Berea. What do you guys think about what's going on here today?
I'll let Kevin go with that one first.
Go ahead. Gribble with the safe approach. First of all, the TMZ thing. This is what I said, and I stay with it. I find it hard to believe that it came from three stars on the offense because it's probably not going to be an offensive lineman, right? It's got to be a skill position player. Andrew Hawkins says it's 1,000% false. But at the same time, it's out there. So I find it hard to believe that something didn't happen either. Either way, it's not good.
I mean, it's an easy story. It's a really easy story.
If sure.
It happens in Washington with RG3. If you have a talented young quarterback on the bench, it's just an easy topic of conversation. And you can, you know, say a comment to a reporter that you don't even think that is going to be taken that way. And you can run with it.
Or so, a family member that then does the same thing.
And I will say, it is troubling that stuff like this is happening week three. This is the type of things that you really want to avoid being in the headlines. You want to be winning football games. And when you lose, this is what happens. Bad headlines are created. So the only way to stop these headlines from coming out are winning and beating the Chargers.
Right. And I think this is another example. You know, the NFL now is a one-week season every week. I mean, remember the show last Tuesday, the things we were talking about after that Titans win. I mean, and then – it's just everywhere in the NFL, especially where teams are like 0-3. I can't imagine what it's like there.
It's the same thing.
It's like the world is falling apart after every loss for all these teams.
The Lions are 0-3.
Yeah, and
so are the Ravens.
And so it's just like it kind of piles on. And I think this is an example. I think I heard a caller say otherwise that TMZ wouldn't go after a story on a seller to a team. I think that's wrong. I think Johnny Manziel is still one of the most popular names in the entire NFL, and he drives interest. And I think that there's always going to be interest with him on this team, whether he's playing or not.
I agree with that. Guys, what needs to be cleaned up the most? What's your number one priority to fix headed into this game against the San Diego Chargers?
The secondary, I mean, Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers, he's going to throw to Keenan Allen every play. Why wouldn't he? Joe Hayden has to prove himself that he's a shutdown corner. You have to do it year in and year out. You have to put the words into action. You really have to do that. So the secondary was supposed to be the backbone of this team. It hasn't been. Even Marcus Mariota made the comeback late for the Titans. So the secondary needs to play a full game together. Tremont Williams has been outstanding. Everyone else needs to play at that level.
I think I go to the offensive side of the ball with the running game because I think I've seen more from the defense as a whole because of that Titans game than I have from the running game. I think the running game was pretty good against Tennessee. I wouldn't call it great. I've seen some great play from this defense. I've not seen anything great out of the running game this season. So I think that's my big concern because, you know, this team has moved the ball through the air in each of these games. And if you can get that running game going, the offense can be a lot better and way better than it was last week.
And that's why I think the scheme of what John DeFilippo is doing, at least in the passing game, is working because you'd be hard-pressed to argue that our quarterback wide receiver tight end combination is amongst the league's elite.
Right, and that's the point that I wanted to make. Okay, with everyone questioning Johnny or Josh and the quarterback, if we can't run the football, it's going to be difficult for whoever's the quarterback of this football team with having to get rid of the ball earlier than you want to by being pressured and the inability to create a 50-50 question in the defensive mind is a tough task for any quarterback.
The problem with the run game is also like the run defense. It's not just one thing. You have Crow missing some vision on the goal line there on the third down play. He could have scored. You have the O-line getting pushed back more than they're pushing back. So it's everywhere. It's not just a one thing with the offensive line or the running backs. It's the whole running game. Sigh. I wrote it yesterday too. This team was 5-1 last year when they rushed for 122 yards or more. This is what this football team's supposed to be. Now, granted, Kyle Shanahan's not here. The schemes are a little different, maybe with the running game. But this team, if they don't run the football that well, they're not going to win games.
And when they don't get pushed, these guys don't have any chance to run the football.
No. Go ahead.
I think clearly, and then on the other, on the flip side, with the rush defense, I mean, this is, it just seems like the Browns come out good against the run early in the games, and that just wears down from there. I don't know what that is a product of. I mean, I think they're playing a lot of different guys out there. They're rotating a lot of players.
You're supposed to be fresh. That's why we have this rotation. Our first half run defense in the two losses was actually pretty good against Chris Ivory and against, last week against Latavius Murray. The second half, it's just been not good.
It's been like the pass defense in the first half of both of those games, though, has not been good. And I think that the Jets, they marched down the field in the second quarter all through the air. And then the Raiders, first play of the game, set the tone with what they wanted to do through the air. And I think those gains down the field then opened up the run game. But the running game, the run defense came out great. First quarter let up 1 yard on seven carries. You can't go from allowing 1 yard in one quarter to 155 the entire game.
Right. And guys, the tough task is, and it's very cliche in saying it, but it's a copycat league. And the same types of runs, we've seen the same types of scheme, that zone read, run, that zone read throw off of it. I think, with young budding minds in the National Football League and the spread being, run everywhere in college football now, that you're gonna see all these things over and over again until you stop it. And so I really just think it comes down to us fixing us, and it's so much about us and not so much about the other team.
And it's going to be tough to fix yourself on the road in the next two games, too. I mean, I don't know what has to be done in practice.
These teams are a combined 1-5, and I think everybody's acting like it's a foregone conclusion we can't beat them. These teams are not playing well either.
No, I know. It's going to be a desperation game Sunday in San Diego. It really is.
For them as well.
You have to pull out all the stops. You have to, any tricks you've been waiting in the bag on offense, bring them out this week. You need a win that badly.
I've been debating this with Kevin throughout the week. Do you, looking at week five, going 1 week ahead, do you want to face the Ravens at 1-3 or 0-4? I lean toward 1-3. I want them to get their win out of the way this week. I want them to maybe feel a little bit better about themselves instead of being this hungry 0-4 team.
The more losses they have, the better.
The four losses, I think there's a woe is me, sentiment sets in that locker room where
maybe
you start to hate coming
guys
to work, and it's no longer fun, and you start to question everything about yourself, everything about your teammates, everything about your schemes. A lot of what we're doing right now, but we're doing it with a win under our belt. They're doing it with none.
That is true, but we need to find a way. Who cares what the Ravens are? We need to find a way to get a win in San Diego.
How about this? We just need one thing to be a strength right now. I mean, what is the strength
of this
team?
What do we hang our hat on right now? Nothing. Special teams. But even that, ultimately, with the roughing the kicker and the
failed
punt,
you.
Failed you. Andy Lee and Travis Coons, the guys who are connecting the ball with their feet, have been phenomenal.
You weathered the storm of the running into
the
kicker.
Let's play soccer.
It's field a punt. Right. Field a punt. Field a punt, and you have the ball in the 45.
Yes,
right?
You do. All right, so what's the positive here? Give me a positive that you guys have taken out of this game. Is it the fight in the team that they could have folded up their shop? They're down 20-3 at one point and made it a 27-20 game. What positives do you take out of that game?
I go with, and I think you guys were mentioning this last segment, but I think the wide receiving and tight end group has been maybe better than we originally presumed.
Yeah.
I know the Raiders are just atrocious against the tight end, but the plays that Gary Barnage was making against the Raiders were some of the stuff we saw in August, and I think he's made some nice plays in those first two games as well. And I think to see Brian Hartline back and getting throws his direction, it just doesn't seem like he doesn't really drop much once it's thrown in his direction. I think the key for him is getting plays where he's open and getting it to him, because he'll use his legs, feet, whatever to make catches. And I think they've been better than expected. I still wouldn't say they've been great, and I think obviously the Benjamin emergence has been good. And the fact that Benjamin was able to have an impact on the game without catching a deep pass, I think, was good as well.
To me, the best player on defense by far has been Tremont Williams, and you have to start thinking, if Hayden's struggles continues, is it time to put Tremont on the number one receiver? He's having that good of a season, especially Steve Smith week five, with Hayden struggled against him, so Tremont Williams has been my biggest takeaway. He's 32 years old. The Packers kind of got rid of him, like, hey, we're done with you. We think you've reached your ceiling. He's come in here, and he's really
shown. It's exactly what I expected when we signed him.
He's physical in the run game, too. On a lot of those big chunk plays on the field, he's not the one chasing the guy. He's really always on his guy. He's a very good tackler, so he's been my pleasant surprise to start the season. I don't think anyone on defense has played as well as him.
I think it's amazing when you look at that game this weekend, right? Everything that you were kind of concerned about, or at least the matchup I was the most concerned about, was Pierre on Crabtree. Crabtree didn't do anything. Pierre gave up one catch for 7 yards in the game. Tremont played well, and yet we got abused as a secondary when our three Pro Bowlers were the ones that they basically took advantage of repeatedly. It was Gipp, it was Whitner, and it was Joe Hayden.
I guess if you want to take the Browns did everything in that game on Sunday to lose by about 25.
It's amazing that it stayed that close.
Yeah, and that might be a byproduct of the Raiders. I mean, they just took
their foot off the gas, too.
And they were committing just endless penalties. I mean, that's kind of what you expect out of a team that young. But yeah, if the Browns play like they did again Sunday again, the margin won't be that close. They just can't play like that again because better teams will take even more advantage.
I thought Oakland did something really fascinating by playing in the shotgun so much. They eliminated the pass rush. And they were doing quick passes too. But when you put yourself in the shotgun with a young quarterback like that, I think there's a big advantage. It's you face less pressure. And I don't know if it fits into the Browns offense at all. Maybe you say it's a copycat league. Maybe you steal a page from that. But I felt like them playing out of the shotgun really befuddled the Browns.
It did befuddle the Browns. And I'm looking this up. So time in the pocket, time to throw. This is week number 3. I'm trying to see where Derek Carr is. McCown was in the middle, 2.65 seconds to throw. Why is Carr not showing up? The guy played more than 50% of the snaps. If I find it, I will let you know. But Derek Carr, to me, in that game was very impressive. And you talk about the shotgun and the quickness with which he got rid of the football. It was a factor. So he was 2.43. He was one of the quicker ones. Only Tom Brady was quicker. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Rivers, Roethlisberger, Stafford were the only ones quicker. But still, you can get there. We're talking about a fraction of a second. We didn't even get a hit on him. It's not like we were almost there. We had, what, 2 hurries we were credited with on the whole day?
And that's not an elite offensive line either.
No, 32 dropbacks for him, and he was under pressure, not at all.
And it's so puzzling because of what we saw the previous week. I mean, I don't know how much better the Raiders' offensive line is than the Titans. Maybe it's a little bit, maybe it's a lot, but clearly the difference was not made up by what the Browns were doing. There was just zero pressure that entire game, and I don't know if it's the depth situation at outside linebacker we talked about in the preseason. It was made a lot worse with Scott Solomon's injury. You wonder if that's taken a toll as well.
Or how much of the package was limited because you lose K'Wan Williams. And with the Raiders going 3 and 4 wide receiver sets consistently, are you handicapped in what you can call because you don't want to expose whoever that...
But I think they have confidence in Pierre because they moved Tremont into the slot. So I think they had total confidence in Tremont being in the nickel.
Yeah, I would think. Throwing it out there. Throwing it up against the wall, see if it sticks.
On the season, the Raiders have been the second most efficient pass blocking line. Now that's because last week they were so unbelievably efficient. The Browns are the 12th most efficient, even though it doesn't seem that way. San Diego has been the worst pass blocking line in the National Football League through the first 3 weeks of the season. So this will be
The way, they give up 135 yards on the ground.
Yes.
They've got some injury issues on the offensive line as well.
Hopefully the Browns can get it done kind of right the ship. Gentlemen, thank you so much. They got you covered. ClevelandBrowns.com, the Browns mobile app, and of course on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble, and of course at Mr_Kevin Jones. We'll be back with hour number 2. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll take your phone calls. We got Josh McCown sound. We've got Joe Thomas sound. We've got grades that we'll hand out as well when we return here on ESPN 850 WKNR.